Hey, everybody. It's me. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
And you're, in fact, listening to the Carolyn and Joe Show! Echo, 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 echo. How's it going, Carolyn?
We're talking basketball.
What?
We're talking Wait, we're not talking basketball.
No, we're not talking basketball.
We're talking wrestling.
That's right.
Awesome edition of the Carolyn and Joe Show. Joe was on a panel called Pro Wrestling Today that he organized. And this was recorded this previous weekend at Annapolis Comic Con. And that's our show this week. Do you want to talk more about your Pro Wrestling Today panel?
Well, first things first, there was a letter, Ben Taylor, there was a letter that was read at the beginning of the show that has a bit of controversialness to it, you know, and of course, to our surprise, just a little bit of that had a little bit of technical problems, quote unquote. Maybe that's someone censoring it, I don't know, or maybe that's maybe that is a technical problem. But either way, when we're going to cut into this, we're already full swing into that vicious letter that Ben wrote directly right to Vince McMahon. So what we're going to include on this show is also the whole entire letter itself, the written letter that you can download and share with the whole entire internet, because you know there's one thing is for people to hear Ben say it, but also read his fine...
with his own hands.
His own hands, his own letter.
Did he write in blood?
It was read in blood. But yeah, so definitely, Pro Wrestling Today, letter to Vince McMahon, Ben Taylor, Dan Noakes, and of course, me, Joe Carabello, bringing on the wrestling fun. Is there any news before we head into that, Carolyn?
News! All right, on August 1st, Magic Bullet ads and your comic submissions are due, so go to magicbulletcomics.com. And also, in a few more days, the Awesome Con DC Kickstarter will end. And last I checked, I think we still need a few thousand. Maybe like 6,000 or 7,000? I'm not quite sure. But we have about 5 days to do that. So, Google Kickstarter, Awesome Con DC, and you'll find the info and you can pledge the amount. And if you're willing to get married at a Comic-Con in DC, the highest pledge reward is $10,000, and you can get married there and I think have like 50 guests and a whole big party at Comic-Con in your honor. So that's a pretty amazing deal if that's your thing. So look into that. It'll be the crossover of the century.
Of the century. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. We'll catch you after the show. So now, check out live from Annapolis Comic Con, Pro Wrestling Today, our letter to Vince McMahon, Dan Noakes, Ben Taylor, me, Joe Carabello. And I'll see you later, Carolyn. I'll see you after the show.
Adios. Have you ever asked your bitch for other bitches? Maybe we could still make it to the church steps. But first, you gonna remember how to...
And that is bullcrap. Jerry Lawler was commentating the match when Mankind was thrown off the top of the Hell of the Cell and slammed through the cell in the same match. He was also calling the match at SummerSlam when Shane McMahon climbed 50 feet up the Titantron and fell after getting kendo-sticked in the spine by Steve Blackman, and on and on. Both of those are worse than a spear through an LED wall. And speaking of memory, Vince, don't think we're ever going to forget what you're doing with Dolph Ziggler. We'll never forget you didn't give him his WrestleMania moment. We'll never forget that you did the ridiculous Triple H concussion angle, not only taking a potentially awesome angle away from Ziggler himself, but you suck up screen time away from talent that deserves better. Talent like Zack Ryder. Talent like Antonio Cesaro. Talent like Christian. Are you aware that skilled wrestlers Alex Riley, Kurt Hawkins, and Ted DiBiase Jr. are still on your roster? I wasn't. Vince, people are going to ask you questions. They're going to ask you things like, is that really the best you could come up with a Caitlyn's Secret Admirer angle? They're going to ask you, why did you waste Damian Sandow? They're going to ask you things like, why did the primetime players never win the tag titles? They deserved it, but they got punished for AW's mistake. Things like, why are you wasting Drew McIntyre in 3MB? And they're going to ask you, did you know you still employ JTG and Ezekiel Jackson, but you won't rehire Matt Stryker? Why? But here is the most important question you're going to get asked in the next 6 months, Vince. When are you going to scratch my back? For 2+ years, we've played your game. For 2+ years, we've seen Cena headline event after event, all the while CM Punk was holding the WWE title for 434 days and performing a heel turn that was all about respect that most of us fans would follow in a heartbeat. For 2+ years, we've had to deal with Dwayne sucking up screen time while wrestlers like Daniel Bryan and Dolph Ziggler languished in a tag title match at WrestleMania 29. For 2+ years, we've sat and watched as you've wasted like talent like Cody Rhodes, Tyson Kidd, Caitlyn and Natalya, all the time dredging up old talent, the emphasis being on old. Does OMG Kevin Nash thought he was dead LOL ring of L, Vince? For 2 years, we've had you throw full-time wrestlers who bust their asses for you on a day-to-day basis, the part-timers like Dwayne, like they were table scraps. For 2+ years, we've dealt with, finally, The Rock has come home, and I'm never leaving again. And then he leaves. Now we're dealing with you guys being back on TV. Don't get me wrong, that angle has a lot of potential. But don't tell me USA requested the McMahons come back. Your egos and the need to get the company's hands in Triple H's hands did. Hell, he and Shane were the only ones that were ever really interesting on their own anyway. Vince, you are nothing without Stone Cold. And Steph, well, I hate to say this, but her biggest advantage is she looks really good in a power suit. When is our turn, Vince? Not the average fan, but us hardcore, we've been here for 20+ years fan. When do we get to see Ziggler versus Bryan get 30 minutes headlining a major pay-per-view? When do we get to see talent like Damian Sandow get a legit title shot and not just be comedy? When do we get to see you back the money truck up and bring us dream matches involving AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, Christopher Daniels, Austin Aries, Beer Money, and more? When do we get Sting Undertaker at WrestleMania? When, Vince? I know these words will fall on deaf ears as no amount of pleading from your dedicated fan will get you to see past the casual money that people throw at Cena merch. Or at how many pay-per-view buys Lesnar can bring. You'll never stop to think what would happen if you built another The Rock rather than running to Dwayne every time he has a movie to promote. And that saddens me. If the ringside knee for Bret Hart Bulldog could see the WWE now, I hate to think what he would think. But it's not all on doom and gloom, Vince. See, what you read above is that I am having a crisis of faith. But that doesn't mean, at least, I have faith in the WWE. Among the doom and gloom, we've seen the summer of Punk. We've seen Ziggler's rise. For every you can't see me, there's been a yes. When we were seeing Cena Ryback snooze fests, we had the intrigue of Punk Jericho. For every 3MB, there's been the Shield. And for the record, yes, I believe in the Shield. And this new angle with you, Steph, and Triple H has potential, but I'm sad to say I don't trust you not to screw it up anymore. But Vince, I have faith. You have all the tools you need. Now you just need to use them properly. I believe you can do it. The problem is, I'm not sure you even want to anymore. Yours, Ben Taylor.
Ben. I like that. How long did it take? Because that's 4 pages, man. That's a pure essay.
It's 3 pages.
That's a pure letter. You know, what you think about that, Dan?
Pretty much covered most of my, you know, loves and hates about the WWE at the moment. I love what you know, the parts of some of the TNA guys you would like to see come in there. Some of the
Oh God, yes.
The people that have been underutilized, the guys that have been, you know, the way Cena's been, you know, I mean, like, for example, I mean, with last week where Cena was taking on, where he was coming on to do his little dissertation about how Mark Henry stabbed everybody in the back, and everybody was basically not buying into the story whatsoever.
Because nobody cares.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you on that one.
Well, let me take the other side of it at the same time, because a lot of times your letter is directed, you know, directly to Vince, But at the same time, I feel like you're one part, you're right. Maybe he does not care anymore. He is Mr. Almighty Dollar. Vince McMahon is a businessman. And in that sense, he's trusting ratings, you know?
But the problem is he isn't taking risks. He will never know if we will buy a pay-per-view headed by Ziggler Bryan if he never makes Ziggler Bryan the head of a pay-per-view.
Or if he doesn't see money in them, you know what I mean? I see money in them all day long.
Exactly.
Say what?
Exactly.
But I feel like at this point it is such like a factory. It's a factory in a way. It's like, well, we got The Miz who has a movie coming out. We thought he was gonna be great a year ago. Let's push him as a face.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But that's sort of like, it's almost like, yeah, it's partially let's make these movie star wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's like, well, these guys aren't really going to put on a good match at the same, you know what I mean?
I think, too, also part of the problem is that WWE is no longer competing against other wrestling organizations. It's competing against other forms of entertainment.
Entertainment.
Yeah.
See, I just had a conversation, like, before I hopped on this panel of a person that was into pro wrestling. They're like 99, 98 Nitro. They, like, totally loved it. And then, you know, once UFC came in, they're like, oh, this feels like more legitimate. There's more action.
If you were into wrestling for the fighting, then yeah.
Yeah, and that's exactly, that's the one thing. Like, that's what always people are going to say these days. They're like, well, I don't like wrestling. I can watch UFC because it's real. And then I flip it on its end and say, well, maybe that's the reason why I don't really like watching MMA. I really don't like knowing that these guys are getting killed for real.
MMA, like Dana White, the president of the UFC, is the same man that stood on stage at the EA press conference at E3 this year and went, we're humans, we like getting punched in the face.
Yeah.
I'm human, and no, I don't.
has that always, yeah. I mean, you can like MMA, it's totally fine, but like when there's always that two division, there's that division of like, well, this is why I like that. The one thing that I find in MMA that it's always lacking, at least for me, and I work in film business and I've filmed MMA before, is that a lot of times it is just a main event pay-per-view. It's just a main event show. And that's the one thing I appreciate out of pro wrestling, is that they're busting their ass from the top to bottom.
Yep.
Or they're attempting to bust their ass from top to bottom and trying to give you something.
Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you saw a wrestling pay-per-view where the main event was the best match on the card?
What was the last main event pay-per-view I saw?
The last couple of WrestleMania.
I guess if you count a pay-per-view, I saw the pay-per-view from Ring of Honor.
Man, I was so gutted I couldn't go to that.
What were you saying?
Yeah, I mean, I've lost the last few WrestleManias, and definitely the main event was not the best match. I mean,
The last time I think the main event was the best match on the card was the John Cena, CM Punk, 2 Champions match.
That was,
and that's because it had CM Punk in it.
Let's think about that then, because then we can go to tables, ladders, and chairs. It was a three-way between CM Punk, The Miz, and Del Rio. That main evented. I thought that was a damn good match. That was probably the best match in the card. That was the one where CM Punk got he got handcuffed to the corner.
Yeah.
So he had to untwist that thing, and the crowd was going nuts. I thought that was a great moment.
Yeah, but we're seeing a running theme.
CM Punk.
That's
the one thing. I tried so hard because everyone knows I'm a massive CM Punk fan.
I'm a total CM Punk mark. Yeah, like, I'm not going
to
lie.
I'm trying to think of another, like, I'm trying to think of something that's not great beyond CM Punk.
But that's the thing is in the last 2 to 3 years, the main event has either been CM Punk Cena or whatever Cena's match was.
I mean, speaking of that, though, last week on Raw, I mean, the last few Raws in general, it's like, what to you has been the best match on that card? It's like
whatever match Daniel Bryan is in.
Yeah, basically, I watch that. I can basically skip 9/10 of the rest of the program. I just sit there and wait for whoever Daniel Bryan is taking on.
Seriously, like, I don't even watch Raw anymore. I read the report online, and then I watch the highlights on WWE.com, and invariably the first thing I click on is CM Punk's interview segment. And then Daniel Bryan's match.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that. Daniel Bryan, the last time we had this panel at AwesomeCon, we started a massive yes chant.
Yep.
And I'm not going to lie. I thought the yes chant was sort of dead. Until that moment
yep.
when we had that whole entire audience chanting yes. And that out of nowhere. It was just me and you arguing over if we should start.
And I was like, yes.
And I was like, no.
Yes.
And then no. And then like it just
and the whole
blew
crowd
up into that. And I think like the rise of Daniel Bryan is massive to me.
Oh, yeah.
Because I remember when Carolyn was watching, we saw NXT.
Yep.
And like I already knew who Bryan Danielson was, Ring of Honor. And like, you know, he was already under the gimmick of best in the world, right, Dan?
Yep.
Yeah, yes. Definitely.
And so like I already knew that he was great. But then he saw this kid, or she saw, like, just, I was like, that guy's awesome. He's like, that guy looks like a nerd. He looks like a nobody.
Do you know the thing that always endeared me about Daniel Bryan when he was on NXT? Was when he cut that slight shoot promo with, the, like, do you deserve to be in first place? And he was like, does The Miz deserve to be a pro wrestler? Does Michael Cole deserve to take JR's place at commentary?
Because they always said that, like, he didn't have, like, charisma.
Yeah.
And, like,
suck it. Like,
How do you even define wrestling charisma at this point? Because Maven won Tough Enough, and like, who has charisma? Yeah.
You know who the three most charismatic people in the Federation right now are?
Who?
CM Punk, Paul Heyman, and Dolph Ziggler. And if you can't clump Paul Heyman because he's technically a manager, it's Daniel Bryan. Those are the three people you want to hear talk.
But how would you define like? Like if you were a promoter, if you were a booker, if you were making these shows and you're picking out a guy, how actually do you define, let's start with you, Dan, since how do you define like that guy's charisma? What would you look for?
Basically in terms of charisma, I mean, it's a two-part thing. I mean, the mic skills are definitely in that line of business a 70 to 75% factor right there. But part of that charisma, too, is how that person handles themselves inside that ring. It's like, you know, he could be the best mic talker in the world, but the moment he steps into that ring and puts on a lukewarm performance.
So John Cena.
Yeah. John Cena. It's like he, and that's the whole thing. Part of John Cena's problem is he can get on that mic and talk things up, but he's not delivering anything beyond the five moves of doom in that ring.
Except that Royal Rumble promo he did.
Yeah.
So what was the question? How would we define wrestling charisma, or
say,
what would we look
like,
for?
Say, Ben, if you're putting on a show, if you're trying to hire a wrestler, you had an idea of charisma. What exactly are you looking
for? I wouldn't
look.
Every single person gets a chance to prove themselves. I wouldn't look. I'd be like, you want to cut a promo? Here's a microphone. If you impress me, I'll give you more microphones. If you impress me in the ring, I'll give you more matches.
That seems like a money deal right there.
Yeah. You don't go out searching for charisma. If you go out searching for charisma, you don't find CM Punk.
Because that's the one thing. I mean, I guess technically you could because it'll still come at you.
But my point is you just give everyone their chance. Yeah. Evan Bourne, name out of nowhere there. Evan Bourne. No one in their right mind would think he would put on an entertaining match because he's like the size of a squirrel. That man puts on entertaining freaking matches.
Yeah, he made Ryback look good. I mean, he had that match that Bryan was with a few weeks ago with Ryback, and he basically made Ryback look good in the ring. He took a guy that basically does, you know, 3 to 5 minute squash matches, and you could look at Ryback after that match. He was genuinely winded after it, which you almost never see because he never goes that long.
And you know who the other person who's done that? CM Punk.
Yeah, basically.
I like that. Are you a fan of Ryback?
No.
No.
Were you ever a fan of Ryback?
No.
Yeah, when he was Goldberg, yeah.
when his finishing move was used by Samoa Joe?
Yeah, basically.
Have you been watching TNA?
Yes.
I cannot tell a lie. Hell no.
Wait, all right. What, give me a reason why you don't watch it, and then Dan will give you a reason why to watch it.
It's the same thing I said at AwesomeCon. I can't buy Bully Ray as a champion. When the two people feuding over your world title are people that busted their butt over the WWE tag titles, you have a problem.
Yes, I have.
What's the pluses? Have you been seeing reasons why they should watch it?
All right. I can agree with Ben that basically, and let me expand on that. Anything that has to do with the Aces and Eights, angle, and apparently they've brought back the main event mafia, which just kind
of
compounds.
Sting was like, "I'm bringing back the main event mafia," in his usual way of, "I don't know how to cut promos."
Wait, you did watch it then?
No, I read the wrestling dirt sheets.
He's watching he reads the liner notes, but
I get the cliff notes. It's like TNA was bad, TNA was still bad. Sting talked a bit. Bully Razor 2.
Wait, I'm not gonna lie. Gail Kim versus Taryn. What is it? Tour Tiffany.
Taryn Terrell, yeah. I think her name is. All right, let me tell you where TNA does work. It's on anything to do with the undercard is where TNA works and WWE doesn't. I think in terms of their women's division, the X division, anything with involving the quote unquote TNA original guys.
And here's the problem with that, right?
So basically anything not involving a real storyline.
So here's the problem
Absolutely.
With that, right? That would have been enough to get me to watch when TNA was new, because it was. I watched the X Division. Yeah. I watched all that. Those people are no longer original. Chris Sabin has been doing this for a very long time.
He has the
AJ Styles has got a belly now.
That is.
Christopher Daniels is now on a tag team.
Wait, did you say AJ Styles?
Has a belly,
yeah.
Yes.
AJ,
he's got a bit pudgy.
AJ Styles does have a gimmick change.
Yeah.
He does have, it's.
Yes,
it's,
and the gimmick change is.
What's it called?
I'm a lone wolf.
It's called I'm not working out quite as much as I used to.
It's I don't care about my contract anymore, but they're pushing me anyway.
That sounds like the Briscoes in ROH.
I know, right? It's just.
I like dressing up like a.
Don't get me wrong. Like I said in the letter, I want to see people like AJ Styles, Beer Money, Austin Aries, Samoa Joe.
You know how close I was today to wearing a Curry Man shirt?
And
I think about that now, and that was sort of the golden age of TNA when there was Curry Man.
The golden age of TNA was when they first introduced Ultimate X. When you had that first Ultimate X match between Christopher Sabin, Christopher Daniels, and AJ Styles.
Do you remember those Ultimate X matches?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, no, I know you remember, but the technical stuff they had wrong with it, with the X always falling down.
Yep.
I mean,
don't get me wrong. I like TNA. I have the AJ Styles DVDs. I have the Christopher Daniels DVDs. And the early stuff was amazing, but it's not. It's the same problem I had with The Shield when we were doing it beforehand. It hasn't evolved. It hasn't gone anywhere. It evolved into the six-sided ring, and then Hogan went, no.
If anything, I agree with you. It has de-evolved in terms.
And now we're going backwards. We're going from push, Bound for Glory series. This really interesting thing with Austin Aries and Bobby Roode and main event mafia.
Aces and eights, yeah. A bunch of like old folks home versus old folks home.
At least if I tune into Raw, I'm seeing The Shield.
See, that's what's interesting. I feel like there used to be like, oh, it's all in the indies now. It's all in the indies. Those guys are where it's at. But also, it really is. WWE does have, if they
it
could,
keeps
they can,
stuff interesting.
They could blow it, and they can put on 45-minute long matches now. They have to.
Did you see the it was the six-man tag. It was like Kane, Daniel Bryan, and Orton versus The Shield. It was a six-man tag on Raw.
Which time?
Yeah. It was the most recent six-man tag on Raw. It was an amazing match.
Yeah.
It was amazing. It was better than some people who should remain nameless,
John Cena,
and their pay-per-view matches.
Well, this thing, John Cena doesn't really need to prove himself now, does he?
Yeah, he does.
And he doesn't. And to that extent, John Cena doesn't.
And that's why
himself.
He doesn't prove himself. But no, I'm glad you let me read the letter because.
Wait, did you see John Cena just tweeted an image of himself like 13 years ago? Like a young guy, he's all super.
Wait, you actually follow John Cena on Twitter?
No, it was on
sure
LordsOfPain.net. They tweeted, they showed it. Not to give them a plug.
The only wrestler I follow, I follow two wrestlers on Twitter. I follow Christopher Daniels and I follow Chris Jericho. And I mainly follow Chris Jericho just for updates about Fozzy.
You don't follow Layla? You don't follow Caitlyn? You don't follow.
I would follow Caitlyn anywhere she asked me to, but not on Twitter.
Yeah.
That sounded really bad. If my wife listens to this, deal with it.
She understands wrestling. It's fake.
It's true. Yeah.
Don't worry about it. It's fake.
But speaking of Caitlyn, the secret admirer angle.
Wait. So let me get this across. So you did not like it, or you did like it, or you just thought it
was... I did not like...
Well, hated it.
Let me rephrase this. The ending that they came up with had potential, right? It had a lot of potential. The problem that WWE has right now is they're turning Dolph Ziggler face, but AJ is still a heel, right? I need a cough.
Well, in a way, that's what happened to Edge and Lita. They had to sort of split them too.
So they could do it with this really somewhat forced heel turn, face turn, Alberto Del Rio angle, right? Or the following happens. Caitlyn has been doing the secret admirer angle, blah, 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 blah. Big E Langston reveals himself as the admirer just as he did it. Everything happens exactly the same, right? Until the pay-per-view. The pay-per-view happens, and Caitlyn is getting her ass handed to her. And Big E's standing going, ha, 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 I broke you. And then, lo and behold, down comes Dolph Ziggler. And he saves Caitlyn. Instant face turn. And instant better resolution to that storyline. Because right now, the only thing that storyline managed to do was make Caitlyn look weak. If she'd have won the match, she wouldn't look weak. It's again, strong champions, right? Dolph Ziggler comes down, and he literally lays into Big E, and he's like, what are you doing, man? This effed up. You don't do that with a woman's heart. That is, get out. Instant face turn. Instant.
Is that in Ziggler's character, though? Is that something Ziggler does?
How do I put this kindly? Is anything that Dolph Ziggler's done in the last 2 weeks in what we knew previously of the Dolph Ziggler character?
What exactly is the Dolph, besides the show-off?
Because exactly.
He still doesn't really show off to me. Like, if you call it just doing push-ups or doing...
Exactly. His gimmick needs to change. It needs to evolve. It's what I've been saying over and over and over again till I'm blue in the face. Dolph Ziggler is, again, at this turning point. He's amazing. We all know he can sell. He can work matches. He can carry people. That would be a good evolution of his character. And it would break up him and AJ. He wouldn't be the secret admirer, so he wouldn't be attached to Caitlyn. Though they would probably look after each other in the oncoming war with Big E and... Oh, wait. A storyline writes itself. Wow. GG.
So she called GG.
It's like you have... All you need to do... Like, here's the other thing, right? While Dolph Ziggler was out with his concussion, what was the match we saw ad infinitum?
What?
We saw ad infinitum. Ad infinitum, over and over again. It was Big E versus Alberto Del Rio. And Big E was wiping the floor with Alberto Del Rio.
Yeah.
So why not keep the belt on Ziggler and make Big E the number one contender? Via, the Divas Division. Oh my God, the Divas Division is relevant again. Holy crap.
It'd be the first time in almost a decade at this point.
It's almost like, I'm good at this.
I mean, that's one of the points that's always, I feel like it is. I mean, Vince Russo is saying, oh, the belt is just a prop. And so when he was booking, it wasn't really something that he pushed over. But belts are really important. And it should be the center point of wrestling. Or else, what do you have? I mean, yeah. It's the closest thing to like, oh, we're going to make a real competition. But if you don't give any... Who are the champions now? U.S. champion, Dean Ambrose.
Dean Ambrose.
Intercontinental, Wade Barrett.
No.
Curtis
Axel.
Who? Oh, Curtis Axel.
Exactly.
Oh, McGillicuddy has the best about.
Why didn't they just call him Joe Henning?
Hennig.
Because it's his bloody name.
I thought he wanted to go his own way. Isn't that always the way they're like, oh, the Sons, they want to start their own path? And
no.
But at least
otherwise,
don't...
he wouldn't be called Randy Orton.
When Randy Orton first started.
Do you really
out,
think if he was trying to be like a really like tough dude, he'd show up called Randy? No.
I gotta, yeah, whatever, abbreviate his name to whatever his middle name is, and R.M. Orton or whatever the hell it was. Yeah, but yeah, man. Although, you know, the dude does look tough.
Dude, what are you saying? Spit it out.
No, I'm agreeing.
It's just...
Money in the Bank. Return of Rob Van Dam. Are you excited about that?
Oh, hell yeah.
See, there's a split, though, right? Because there's some people that are like, oh, Rob Van Dam is a spot guy.
Well, he's coming in on a part... Let me rephrase that. I will be excited once he's in the ring and wrestling. And then once the match is over, I won't care anymore. Much like I do with Brock Lesnar. Because he will be... Rob Van Dam will once again be working a part-time contract.
I would really like him to have a gimmick change. If that's even
RVD?
Possible. Like, at least a look change. I would like to see a look change.
You will never get RVD to change his looks.
Either that or him team up with Ryback and they just be like the airbrushed onesie guys. Yeah. You know what I mean?
That's. I really want to have, like, a promo where they run into each other backstage and they start comparing notes on... on who does whose onesie. And they all have like Hulk Hogan's face on their crotch.
Yeah.
That's where it's at.
Does anyone else?
Or they
do
have the aces and they have the aces and eights symbol on their crotch.
Yeah.
Like shots fired.
Do you think Rob Van Dam still has it to perform at that level though?
No.
No.
Which is why he's working a part-time contract.
I see it like this. It's like. I'm excited to see Rob Van Dam come back, but it's not going to be the Rob Van Dam from 1998 or even...
But he still does the same moves and looks exactly the same. Is it the same Rob?
Yeah. He looks
what new moves has he introduced even in TNA? He has the Rolling Thunder, 5-star, the little split-legged leg drop.
Yeah, it's all the evolved.
And he still has more moves than John Cena.
Yeah.
But John Cena doesn't need to jump into his moves, though.
That's true. So Van Dam's got the one up on that.
Can we talk? Like I wanted to.
You said you want to talk about Layla.
I do not want to talk about Layla. Other than that, she's the most enduring Tough Enough champion.
Oh, that's true.
Because she was the first female Tough Enough winner, and she's still around.
Layla?
Yeah.
No, we're talking about Layla's not Tough Enough winner.
I got.
She won with Maven, didn't she?
No, that's.
Oh, that was Nydia.
Nydia.
Yeah.
I got a question for you guys. JBL, one of the best color commentators of the last, I don't know, 10, 20 years, your guys' opinion?
Last week, I went and watched a highlight reel of the best of the Clothesline from Hell. That's a good, because he can do that. There's a lot of, what's so amazing about the internet, and I almost feel like wrestling fans and pornography built the internet today.
So, JBL... JBL. You say one of the best color commentators in the last 10 years, right?
Better than Taz?
All right, let's talk who
Scott,
he's had.
Better than Scott Hudson?
No. Let's talk about the people he's had to be compared to. Jerry Lawler. Wah, wah. Who's turned into a titties and beer guy, right? He's like, ooh, puppies, and that's about it.
But he can't even say puppies now.
No.
So he just does the aneurysm of puppies, like the, hey, like, they are, JR.
Can you say aneurysm about Lawler anymore and not be offensive?
Is it too soon?
Too soon.
All right, so.
Wait, so then you have Booker T was a commentator. Mick Foley was commentating as well.
Yep.
Mike Adamley was commentating.
Yep.
Sort of.
Right. So I think you might be right. JBL is the best color commentator in a while.
In the world.
Like ever.
Punk wasn't bad for the couple of times that Triple H let him put on his jacket.
Punk doesn't count. I'm sorry. Punk's just the best.
I'm always a Joey Styles guy.
I think it has to be a rule now that we're not allowed to talk about CM Punk.
So we're not...
Because it's all we degenerate. Like, we've been doing this panel for 43 minutes already.
What, we're not allowed? Or are we going to talk about
it? Like, we've got like 17 minutes left in the panel. Let's see if we can make it without saying the word CM Punk once.
Well, Colt Cabana is pretty soon, hopefully, going to sign.
Nice segue. Should we just put up a he who should not be named jar up at the front?
The Second City Saints are pretty good, too.
So the Second City Saints against...
So what you're saying is
you want to see the Second City Saints against the Motor City Machine Guns.
Yeah, against... I was a big fan of the Straight Edge Society.
I was too.
And you know, oh, now I forgot the girl who shaved her head. I forgot her name.
Serena.
Serena's from around, from North Virginia. So I thought, like, oh, cool, someone made it. It's like in Virginia, in Maryland, you have, like, Mickey James. It's
ain't all nothing wrong with some Mickey Dutch. James up in here.
Say what?
It's not wrong with some Mickey James up in here. That woman put on the most entertaining WrestleMania female match in 20 years. The match between her and Trish Stratus.
Where she botched the finish?
Yeah.
Where Trish botched the finish?
Oh, she did it well. She did the botch well.
Mickey botched the finish.
Are we talking about the one where Trish went for the Stratisfaction, missed the rope, buggered her knee, and then Mickey spent the rest of the match working it over and put her in the Boston Crab?
Well, I'm not going to lie. Mickey's finish sucks. I mean,
no, don't get me wrong. Mickey's finish sucks, but she still put on her and Trish put on the best WrestleMania women's match since WrestleMania ever.
That was the WrestleMania match where she also, like, grabbed Trish's crotch and licked her hand, right?
Yeah, because that was the whole creepy stalker thing.
That's the climax of the storyline.
Yeah,
is that?
But the point is, I don't know. I just.
Are you saying you're a fan or you don't like Mickey James?
I liked Mickey James. I haven't seen her wrestle since she went to TNA because I don't watch TNA.
I would say that Mickey James right now, because she's doing the sort of crazy angle thing, but not crazy, just sort of like the best thing I can do is describe it as Lex Luger 96.
Okay.
Where he was like, you know, he was playing a good guy, like, but mm-hmm. behind Sting's back, he was a bad guy. Like, that was the best Lex Luger stuff I've ever seen, where when Sting and Lex Luger would go down the aisle, and then they would both be slapping hands, right? But when Sting turned his back, he wouldn't slap anyone's hands and get people not to slap. That was the best stuff
I almost want to know if that was his character, or was that just Lex Luger being a dick?
Well, I mean... Like,
yeah, how much of that was staged and how much of that was real?
Do you like Lex Luger?
No, because he killed Elizabeth.
Wait a minute. That is probably true, isn't it? So in the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Who do you want in this year's Hall of Fame?
So we were talking about this earlier, and I started a bit of an internet war with a friend of mine. And
Facebook? On the internet, right?
It's just the internet. Like, I think I fairly make the internet explode on a regular basis. I could go for the obvious ones like Owen Hart, British Bulldog, Randy Savage. The man I want in the Hall of Fame is Eric Bischoff.
I'm a fan of Eric Bischoff. I'm not going to lie to the whole world. I read his book. I remember when they were talking about, because remember back in the day, maybe 99, 98, there's all these... I know it was a hot time where all these news outlets were going and they're like doing documentaries of behind wrestling. This is the truth behind it.
Yep.
And he was talking about how long it takes to establish a character.
Yep.
But then you have the other side where people are like getting fired because they're not, you know, like he doesn't care. He's all business. I actually admire that, so to speak, of Bischoff being all business. Is that so tough?
Do you remember like the WWE roundtables they put on?
Yeah, I remember that.
And there was that one where Bischoff was on and he was talking about why he didn't rehire Luger.
What did he say?
Well, he was just like, he asked for too much money.
Yeah.
And he was blatantly honest about it. And I was like, wow, you're awesome. But the thing, like, I really want it to not just be, oh, we're putting Eric Bischoff in the Hall of Fame. Like, I want him to turn it into a storyline.
Can they do a Hall of Fame and storyline?
Oh, my God, could they?
No, I mean, have they done that? Have they blended the two? Because that'll sort of take the legitimacy away from
Hall
of Fame,
but
right?
I'm not saying that I want them to put his Hall of Fame induction into a storyline. What I'm saying is I want them to bring Eric Bischoff back for one last swing in the WWE. I want them to back the money truck up. I want to say, I want you to be Raw GM again. And this man called Paul Heyman that you put out of business, I'm going to make him SmackDown GM. And y'all are going to beat the crap out of each other. Go.
It was close though, right?
I definitely agree with you on that point. The whole branding angles of the last if you gave it over to me and say who you would put in charge, it would definitely be the pinnacles of both those shows. Is like when Bischoff was running the show on Raw and when Paul Heyman was running the show on SmackDown were some of my favorite times to actually watch the show.
Plus, those are like we always talk about how good He Who Must Not Be Named and Paul Heyman are.
Yes.
On the microphone.
Philip.
Yes, Philip. Imagine Bischoff and Heyman in the same ring.
That was close to happening, though, yeah. Right? But then during the draft, Paul Heyman just say, "I'd rather quit than be your assistant."
Yep.
Yeah, I also liked it when Bischoff was on, when they brought Steve Austin back and had Bischoff and Austin go up against each other was a great angle.
Just can't believe I'm about to say these words.
Bischoff, you're a fan of his son, aren't you?
Oh.
Who?
Bischoff's son.
Who?
He's part of the Aces and Eights now.
Yeah.
Garrett Bischoff?
For those of you that missed it, I just put my hand above my head because I have no clue what they're talking about. Yeah, wait, that's Eric Bischoff's kid?
Yeah, Garrett Bischoff, that's his kid.
He
has Bischoff tattooed on his heart, doesn't he? Is that what it says?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I might have his haircut,
I think
too.
I hate him a little bit right now. My point is...
Maybe with a little underline of where you can get his father's book online, like a website.
So,
controversy creates cash.
Okay, so controversy. Controversy. Eric Bischoff's the best thing to ever happen to Raw.
And because controversy creates cash. He did have some good, I think. Also,
and not necessarily just when he was on Raw, but when he was running Nitro as well.
Well, here's the one thing I liked about Bischoff's thinking, though. It's like he did have that main event during NWO and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But also, look at the undercard. He's like, well, we got 15 minutes to spare. Just throw some luchadors out there.
Luchadors. Give them some cruiserweights.
Yeah. Just
let's make a tag division with tag teams.
Yeah. But I bet in his mind, he's like, well, I don't really care. Don't worry about that storyline. Just make it action-packed and put on a show. And people get over that way.
Exactly. A.K.A. Chris Jericho.
Well, he wasn't even listening. They're just like, yeah. Go out there and do whatever. And then, bam, yeah.
Yeah. And then he became the first undisputed champion in the history of the WWE. Good job, Eric Bischoff. Like,
I really am. I am a fan of Bischoff.
I am too.
Solely for that. I may not be a big fan of him and Hogan team together.
No, not even close.
He's just, Hogan and Bischoff is just sort of like...
Hogan and anyone is just sort of cancer for wrestling.
This is how I picture Hogan and Bischoff's character.
You're being generous.
It's equivalent to when you have like a hot girl and then the ugly friend. And then the ugly friend is just constantly being like, no, you're so hot. Oh, you're so amazing. Let's just do whatever you want. You know what I mean? But you know that the girl can do amazing things, but they're just...
Are you calling Hulk Hogan the ugly girlfriend in this one?
Or is Hulk Hogan the hot girl?
Could you clarify that?
No. Hogan is blonde.
You don't find his shiny, straighter than straight hair an endearing quality?
Yeah.
Looks just like his daughter.
True.
Thank you for that mental picture.
They look so close, man. Hogan and Brooke Hogan. Did you buy Brooke Hogan's album?
Can we not?
Can we what?
I want to keep my lunch down. Can we not?
So you go to the mom.
So, yeah, I feel like I kind of derailed the whole thing with the letter because you guys all had the stuff you want to talk about, and then I read it, and you were like, wow, let's talk about that some more. I'm like, wow.
I did like that you wrote that, the four-page letter. I think we should like print up or... I mean, it's definitely really strong, but I also do, in a way... You have to, with Bischoff thinking business, you got to think of Hogan. Not Hogan. Let's never think of Hogan.
Ever.
But let's think of Vince in business. Because, like, from what I hear, majority of the time, he is just out working business. It's a whole committee of, like,
yeah,
well.
But at the same time, you have these reports where it's the middle of the show and he's ordering rewrites.
You know why? This is why it's the middle of the show and he's ordering reruns. Because that's probably the only time he has a moment to focus on the show. Every time he just rolls in, he's like, "What? Who wrote this crap?" All right, he takes a crayon out.
The problem is, it shouldn't be fixed this tonight. It should be fixed this next week. Spend a week, come up with something really exceptional.
But Raw's have been pretty solid lately. Yeah, who said that? Yeah. for a month.
I think part of it, too, has to be with, I think part of the reason he does the rewrites, that there might be a difference between what's planned and the way that it's actually implemented and executed. And he sits and he watches it happen. It's like, well, maybe that's not a good idea. I mean, there's not really you can do much in terms of, especially with the...
But then you're talking about a contradiction in terms, because if he was going to be reacting to what the crowd was doing, Daniel Bryan would have been WWE champion 2 years ago.
Good point.
Yeah. No, but see, there's that's. I think that's a good logical point. But at the same time, if he was champion 2 years ago, he wouldn't really be a champion that Vince created 2 years ago. You know what I'm saying?
That's not my point. My point is if Vince, if what you're saying is Vince reacts to what's going on the show, if he does that, Daniel Bryan would have been champion the moment Yes took off.
I actually don't think that Vince reacts to what's going on the show. He just looks at it for face value.
That's true.
He probably has a bunch of people that's writing for him, all the writers, and you know what I mean? I think Vince can probably write a better show than the writers he has now. He just doesn't have time.
This table we're sat at could write a better show than some of the writers they have right now.
I mean, like, you know, if I worked for, name a soap opera, like,
as the McMahons turn.
Yeah, I mean, they even had, what's his face, from, who was married to Sarah Michelle Gellar. They had Freddie Prinze.
Freddie Prinze Jr.
But he couldn't handle the writing, he couldn't handle that schedule, though, either. I have a feeling that's a pretty tough job. Yeah, he was a consultant.
Man, I need to marry Buffy. Would you say that CM Punk was one of the more recent stars, or would you say CM Punk, Dolph Ziggler, Daniel Bryan? Because Punk was good the moment he showed up in ECW. No, I'm not saying that he's not as over. What I'm saying is you stated the timeline was CM Punk, Daniel Bryan.
As a new star?
Yeah, CM Punk was big when Dolph Ziggler was still in the Suicide Squad.
The Suicide Squad?
Spirit Squad.
That would be awesome if there was if they actually had a stable and they can use the Suicide Squad
and not get sued.
Well, they managed to get it with Hulk Hogan,
didn't
they?
I would just make it all X-Division guys. Suicide Squad, yeah. So... let's all pose for this photo.
I think we just got put on square. So we've got five minutes.
All right, Money in the Bank's coming up. Who's winning?
CM Punk, Daniel Bryan.
You think CM Punk's going to win for a third time?
Yep.
Yeah, that's pretty much my pick, CM Punk, Daniel Bryan.
The reason why I'm picking CM Punk, well, Daniel Bryan's obvious because they want to have him challenge John Cena.
Wait, which one is Daniel Bryan on? Is he on the...
He's on the SmackDown one.
He's on SmackDown with Ambrose? Ambrose is on that too, right? He's in the wrong one. CM Punk is on the wrong one. Oh.
Who's in the SmackDown one?
Who cares?
Then I'm picking Damian Sandow.
You want Sandow to win? Ambrose.
I want Ambrose to keep the U.S. belt. I want him to keep it for months. I want him to make it strong, and I want him to earn his world title shot off that. I want Damian Sandow in the main event because he should have been a year ago when he debuted because he's better than Alberto Del Rio.
I think Ambrose would be interesting because you already have the Shield angle built up of them coming into the ring and the whole sneak attack.
No, I get it would be interesting, but... I just read a whole letter about making champions strong.
No, I understand that.
Now, here's the interesting thing would be if he lost the U.S. title and then cashed in for getting his U.S. title back.
What? That's illogical, though.
No, it's not. It's about bringing prestige to the U.S. champion. That is mine. I want it back.
This is what I think might happen. CM Punk is not going to win. I know we're not supposed to say his name.
Well, I already did.
This is whatever.
Put $1 in the jar.
Punk is gonna win Royal Rumble. He's gonna go to WrestleMania. Him and Daniel Bryan main event WrestleMania. That's what I want to happen. Triple X straight edge WrestleMania.
See, the problem I have with that is
that's what I want. I don't know if it's logical.
Once the Brock Lesnar feud is over, by the way, that moment when Paul Heyman looked CM Punk in the eye and said, I will never represent anyone against you, even Brock Lesnar. And if Brock Lesnar's got a problem with that, he brings it to me. I had nerve chills.
Like, Heyman is pulling, like, Martin Scorsese-level performances, man.
Yeah, he's like, wow. But anyway, they need a way to get Punk back in the title picture when Lesnar disappears again.
Like, go through the whole alliance?
I would hate it. I would hate it.
You would hate Punk?
I would hate that as an idea.
It's too long?
No, it's too obvious. It's too obvious.
That is something that Heyman did, or as Paulie Dangerously did in WCW, when Sting had to go through the whole alliance to face Rude.
What I would do is, see, again, it's about keeping champions strong. And if you feed Curtis Axel to CM Punk, he's not strong anymore.
They need to really make Curtis Axel strong. He still is not strong yet for
me. Curtis Axel is 3-0. He's 3-0 versus Triple H and 2-0 versus John Cena. They can make him strong. But anyway, let's wrap up because we've got another panel coming in.
Thanks, everyone, for paying attention to us. Again, my name is Joe Carabeo.
Dan Oaks here again once.
And I am CM Punk.
See you all next convention.
Hey, everybody. Hope you guys enjoyed that. Live from Annapolis Comic Con Pro Wrestling today, our letter to Vince McMahon, Dan Noakes, Ben Taylor, Joe Carabeo. That's me, rocking the house like we do, talking wrestling, getting crazy. And maybe this might be a thing that might happen from now on. If you ever see us three at a convention, where maybe we're going to try to put that together again. Who knows?
Did you enjoy that? It's already been done twice, so I see it to be a continuing thing.
Yeah, so might as well let that happen as best as possible. Why not? I hope you enjoyed that, Carolyn. Did you dig it?
I dug it.
So, as usual, this show is brought to you by Stray Productions. Check out my new work, also at GoStray.tumblr and 1-Shots.com. And now the brand new JoeCarabeo.com, in which you can see all types of stuff. Yes, taking over the internet. And also Carolyn is taking over the internet, too. What do you got?
I have a comic strip called Curls, and you can read it at Curls-Studio.com. And a whole bunch of other stuff. You'll find it.
Yeah, so don't forget to also contribute, sponsor, or whatever to the Awesome Con Kickstarter. You know what? And just live life and have a good July 4th.
Yes, happy 4th of July to everyone. Enjoy your holiday and recognize what the meaning is behind it.
That's right. Taking over the internet also means taking over the world. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
We will catch you later. See you, Carolyn.
Adios. Bam!